So what we are, I think I went back to 2018. It had been a while since I had given this message on the Lamb's Election Day. And I know I was at a Presbyterian church on Sunday. Very large one. And it was very nice, you know. But it was oftentimes what you'd normally hear on a Palm Sunday. And the message of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and he hailing him as the king with the anticipation that he would come to conquer Rome, and of course would be disappointed as they would see this one they would praise end up being crucified. But and there's much there, and the humility of coming in on a donkey and a colt, a lot of the message there, good message. But there's one that isn't often spoken of in the churches today, in the Christian churches, and that's the significance of this day. We call it Palm Sunday, but it could be really probably this year. It would probably have been on Monday or Tuesday, as we have Passover on Friday, 4 days before Passover. The 10th of Nisan is what the Jewish people, and at the time of Jesus, it was known as Lamb Selection Day. And so as we read through the Gospels during Jesus' earthly ministry and his teaching, we discover that his disciples, they, like us sometimes, we really don't have a clue what Jesus is up to. And what Jesus meant, they didn't understand what Jesus meant when he was coming into Jerusalem to be betrayed, handed over to the Gentiles, to be scourged and beaten and crucified. Didn't fit into their concept of a conquering king, a Messiah that would deliver them. And we sometimes miss so much because of the understanding or a lack of understanding that we have, because we have this framework that's been established. You know, it's just, we're kind of grounded in it, and it's really hard to get outside of that box and look at things differently. And probably one of the blessings that I've had over the past, you know, decade or so is getting out of the standard Protestant Christian view of the scriptures and get outside of that and see from that Jewish perspective and our Hebraic roots. And it really opens up the Word of God and brings so much relevance to us today as well. The Sunday we now call, that many call Palm Sunday, is actually called Lamb Selection Day. And it would have fallen on the Hebrew calendar. It does fall on the Hebrew calendar on the 10th of Nisan, which is the first month of the biblical calendar. And let's just read a story here. We're going to read the story from the Gospel of John. So if you have your Bibles, you can open those at John chapter 12 and verses 12 through 16. And it gives the narrative of Jesus entering into Jerusalem. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, which when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, went out to meet him, and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." And then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." And his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. "Behold, your king is coming." And Jesus as a king, you know, that's the primary message. It's the primary message that we've heard year after year during this time as Jesus is entering in to Jerusalem. And make no mistake, that is certainly what Jesus was communicating when he came on that same route that David, King David, had fled from Absalom. We read about back in 2 Samuel chapters 15 and 16, That was where the king left, and it would be the same route that the king would return. And just as David would leave on two donkeys, if you read on that story of 2 Samuel chapter 16, you'll see that he met just over the top of the mountain, met Zimri, the son of Meshibboleth, and there he was given two donkeys. In the same manner that he left, the King David left Jerusalem on two donkeys. Jesus came into Jerusalem on two donkeys, a donkey and the foal of a donkey. And you can read about that in 1 Samuel, I'm sorry, 2 Samuel 15 and 16. And he's declaring, and in so doing, he was declaring that he was fulfilling Zechariah 9:9, and that is what we just saw quoted there in the Gospel of John. That was what was being quoted there in verse 15. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. So unless you have understanding of the scriptures and understanding of that background, you miss a lot. It doesn't mean you don't miss a Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is king and that, but it just adds so much more to it. And another title for this day that we bring out of obscurity, when Jesus came in, obviously they were throwing down their cloaks and their palm branches. Thus we get that title, Palm Sunday. But the title that we need to bring back out of obscurity is this Lamb Selection Day. John 12, 1 tells us that Jesus arrived in Bethany, a town on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, on Friday, 6 days before the Passover. He stayed at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus over the Sabbath. Remember, he just raised Lazarus from the dead. So there's a lot of word going out now about him and the miracles that he has performed. And now, in the keeping of this very important piece of the Passover, some preliminary activities already starting to take place. One, of course, was the getting all the leaven out of the house. And you remember, we've also taught, you know, how there became a tradition, you know, that we kind of rehearsed what was going on through that time. You know, they'd take the feather and the candle and the wooden spoon, and they'd go around and they'd look for any pieces of leaven and crumb and do that with the kids. And they would take the feather and they would sweep it into the wooden spoon and take it outside and burn it. And the candle, you know, all of that's really cool, you know, how it all parallels with the illumination of God revealing all the sin in our life, and that the feather, the working of the Holy Spirit to remove that. And how's it removed? Put into wooden spoon, symbolic of a wooden cross, and taken outside and burnt. I mean, it's just so much that's going on in that. But I'm getting way off things. I just get excited. But so there's this preparation. That's what I'm saying. There's preparation, getting all the leaven out of the house. But that's a big part of preparing for Passover. But another big part, of course, is the selection of the Passover lamb. And this comes from the Lord's instruction. It's found in Exodus 12. And according to Exodus 12, on the 10th day of the first of the month, the first month of the year, 4 days before Passover, every family was required to choose a lamb for the Passover. And so in Exodus 12, verses 3 and 6, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's needs, you shall make your count of the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may keep it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So on the 10th day of the first month of Nisan, every man was to collect a lamb that would be the right size for his household to eat, because it all had to be eaten. There couldn't be anything left. So you had to get one that, you know, there's just two in the household, you didn't want to get this big old lamb. You just that's why you invite your neighbors so you can consume it all. But this lamb had to be a year old male, prime of its life, without blemish, without defect. And the family would keep that with them for until the 14th day of the month and then kill it. The Hebrew text there, it says kill at twilight. The Hebrew text means between the evenings, and that in itself is another teaching. But I won't go, for the Passover meal. Interesting observance of the 4 days, as we can see in this. We got that next slide, the second slide there. That one. Do you have the 10th day of Nisan? You know, take the lamb and hold. The 14th day, you bring the lamb and kill it. You know, it's 4 days. You know, it's 4,000 years from Adam to Christ. The day is 1,000 years. It's this time of this period of time of redemption, you know, that Jesus that came to give us life. I was reading the other day in Joshua. I put this up here. It's also on the 10th day of the first month that Joshua came into the promised land. Significance there. I was like, and of course, as soon, that was on the 10th day, and they celebrated, that was the first time they celebrated the Passover in the promised land. And it was at that time that the manna stopped. No longer did they receive the manna. Significance, you know, Jesus coming in Jerusalem on that 10th day, that's the Passover lamb, Joshua entering into the promised land. There's significance in those dates, and you can look at those throughout the history of Israel as well. The day the Israelites picked for the lambs of their families, as I said, Lamb Selection Day. It was a very festive day. It was kind of like what we would do, you know, I mean, you think about Thanksgiving. You know, you go and you pick the turkey, you know. I mean, it's a big deal. You know, you got to get just the right turkey for your family size, you know. And everybody's getting anxious about the big meal that's about to be served. And it's a lot of festivities that go with it and throughout the area. The day before, the lambs were herded in from the fields of Bethlehem. Remember, the lambs were born in Bethlehem, raised in Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born? Oh, that's right. Yeah, I just want to make sure we got that. But and they'd be probably coming through the northern gate called the Damascus Gate. And then they would go through what is called the Sheep's Gate on the northeast side of the temple. That next slide. You can see the Damascus Gate up there, up the top. That's where he'd be coming there to the south side of the temple there, called the Sheep Gate. Some tradition has Jesus entering in through the beautiful gate or the eastern gate, but I that's tradition, and I think most scholars now see it as coming through that northern gate, which again fulfills the prophecies that I spoke about earlier. In the afternoon of the next day, the head of the family went to the temple. They chose a lamb. They took it home until sundown of the 14th day when it would be sacrificed. So what do they do with it during those 4 days? Well, it's this. Let me back up a minute. This lamb selection day, it was a day during the time of Jesus. There was an annual procession of the national Passover lamb that was taking place. The lamb having been selected by the high priest, going out from the north gate, the Damascus gate, to the fields near the city, would be taken to the temple in Jerusalem to be a public sacrifice. There'd be a public Passover celebration at the temple. So on this day, the priest would go out this north gate. He would go down and he would pick out, select a lamb, and he would come back with the lamb that was going to be sacrificed for Israel. And that was a big procession that would be taking place. And as that procession was taking place, they would be singing the Psalm 118. And they would wave branches, and they would sing Psalm 118, remembering God's miraculous delivery from Egypt and from the hands of Pharaoh. That's what they were celebrating. They were remembering Passover, the first Passover, and their deliverance from Egypt. And there would be this grand procession of this lamb, and they would be singing from that Psalm 118. And guess what that psalm is? You know, one verse. O Lord, please save us. O Lord, send us prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's in verses 25 and 26. But they're singing this psalm as this national lamb, Passover lamb, is being brought into Jerusalem to pass through this north gate into this area. And that lamb would then be staked at the temple for 4 days to be inspected to be sure that it was spotless and without blemish. It had to be obviously the perfect lamb. And it must have been immediately before or even during this procession of the Passover lamb by the high priest. Jesus is coming down from the Mount of Olives, riding a donkey. Really, he's got two donkeys. And this is fulfillment of Zechariah mentioned earlier. And I have no doubt he's following exactly in this same path to the temple that the Passover lamb was being brought in. They're just coming together here. And you know, it's like, I'm sure some people are saying, which one, you know, what? They're getting ready to celebrate the Passover lamb. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus is there. And they're seeing him. They recognize him. Oh, man, he's just raised Lazarus from the dead. Oh, and they're coming to meet him as well. There is a large throng of people there. And I can imagine there's all kinds of feelings going on here. And there's got to be excitement. And I mean, there's a lot of shouting. There has to be. Tradition says, like I said, he entered through the Eastern Gate, also known the Golden Gate, but most of what has been researched from rabbinic and historical records point to entering through the Damascus. But here's the main point. On the very day that the entire nation of Israel was picking their special lamb, Jesus rode into Jerusalem to also celebrate Passover with his disciples. And by coming into Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day, on the very path taken by the Lamb for the nation, Jesus was saying in a very unbelievable symbolic way, hey, pick me, pick me. I'm your lamb. I'm the one that can keep you safe. I'm the one who can deliver you forever. Hallelujah. I come as a lamb, not just for the family of Israel, but for the family of the human race. That's what he's saying. And not even knowing what they were doing, the crowds were indeed picking Jesus as their Passover lamb. The crowd of people who previously has witnessed Jesus' great miracles, they place the palm branches and the prayer shawls on the pathway in front of them, and thus the name Palm Sunday. And they shouted to him as he passed, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were already prepared to sing the psalm. They were already prepared because they were getting ready to sing it to the high priest bringing in the lamb. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, or Hosanna. Hosanna means deliver us, deliver us. I always think about that, you know, as I've learned this, and, you know, I'm not really a very great scholar or anything. I'm just wondering, how has the church for so many years missed the fact that Jesus came into Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Sunday? I mean, it's not even, we've just missed it. I think the answer probably lies in the fact that, in general, the church just don't know the Torah very well, and are not familiar with what was involved with all of the Passover celebration. There's a lot of anti-Semitism that has invaded the church, permeated our numbers, and has kept the church from Hebraic roots, and thus has left us wandering around in ignorance for many centuries. I think that's changing, though, and I'm thankful for that as we continue to speak forth the word. But they clearly understood Jesus as the Passover lamb, selected that day as one sacrifice. for the family of God. And you see that throughout all the New Testament writers understood it. And I don't know why we don't pick that up either. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." Hebrews 7:27 says, "He sacrificed for our sins once and for all when he offered himself." Hebrews 9:28, "Christ was sacrificed to take away the sins of many people." John the Baptizer said, what he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Peter in 1 Peter 1:9 says, "You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or spot." In the book of Revelation, 20 or more times it refers to Christ as a lamb. 20 or more times in Revelation, Christ is the lamb. Revelation 5:6 says, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne." Revelation 12:11, "They overcame by the blood of the lamb." You know, from Genesis 22:8, God himself will provide a lamb. Remember, that was binding of Isaac on the altar by Abraham. To all the way to Revelation 5:2, "Worthy is the lamb that was slain." Man, Christ is a Passover lamb. And just to make sure we got it, God sent his son into Jerusalem on that very day, just as the Jewish people were picking their lamb for that they'd been doing for 1,500 years. 1,500 years they had been selecting a lamb on that day at that place, you know, once the temple was built. And Jesus comes on that day, on that path, at that time. Pick me. Whoa, how do we miss that? There's a couple of significant elements of Passover Jesus was fulfilling in that week. Go through them quickly. Remember that once the Passover lamb was selected, it had to be examined for 4 days. And the Torah instructed it had to be carefully examined for any blemishes. If any blemish was found, it would be rejected. Only a perfect, spotless, unblemished lamb would suffice for the Passover, according to Exodus 12. And so, as was true with the lamb that was brought by the high priest, Jesus, the Passover lamb, would be questioned, would be interrogated, would be interviewed, would be thoroughly examined for those 4 days. And you can find all that examination. That's what's taking place in Matthew chapters 21 and 22. As you see the Herodians, you see the Pharisees, you see the Sadducees, you see the scribes, all of them are coming and they all have a question trying to see if he would be in error, that if he would be flawed in any way in his theology, in his doctrine, and every way. You know, they're answering him questions, and of course, as a good Jewish rabbi, he would give them a question back, and his questions always put them to silence. You know, they couldn't return. He was showed himself perfect in every way. 4 solid days of questioning, one right after the other, he showed himself to be the lamb that was without spot or blemish. And it says at the end of that chapter 21 and 22, and you can read it for yourself and just see all the way that they examined him. But that Matthew, who of course was very much concerned about how Jesus was fulfilling Scripture and how he was fulfilling what the Jews were looking for in the Messiah, that's why Matthew puts all that right there. He puts that right there in between that distance of time between his coming into Jerusalem and his arrest. He puts all those questions coming up, the examination by the Pharisees, the scribes, the Herodians, and the scribes. So it's all there. And it ends with this, verse 46, "And no one was able to answer him a word, not from that day, or did anyone dare question him anymore." They were done. We can find nothing against him. Wow, the perfect lamb. Beside these events, the lamb selection day and the examination of the lamb, the other primary element of the preparation of Passover was the removing of the leaven from every house. And you can see there how it instructs that before the feast, all the impurities must be kept out. And so with that, you know that's going on. So what did Jesus do to get rid of the leaven in God's house? Of course, he cleansed the temple. He went in and he cleansed out all of the den of robbers. And how dare you? This is to be a house of prayer. And you made it a den of thieves. So he was fulfilling. He's doing Passover, right, man? He's preparing. He's the Passover lamb. He's cleansing the house. And just to lead us into another event of Passover itself, we can also see that what would become of the Passover lamb that was selected to be slain for the house of Israel, that temple. So what happened to it? After it had been examined, after it had been seen to be, this is good. Well, on the morning of the 14th day of the first month, when all has been set in order, the lamb was led out to the altar. So at 9 a.m. that morning, the lamb was bound to the altar and put on public display for all to see. On the morning of the 14th day of the first month, when all had been fulfilled, Jesus was led out to Calvary for all to see. At 9 a.m. in that morning, just as the lamb was being bound at the altar, Jesus was nailed to the cross and put on public display at Calvary. Exact hour. The lamb was slain at a very specific time. At exactly 3 p.m., the ninth hour, the high priest ascended the altar as another priest blew a shofar on the temple wall. The high priest cuts the throat of the sacrificed lamb and declares, "It is finished." At 3 p.m. on that high holy day, at the moment the Passover lamb was killed in the temple, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Tetelestai, it is finished. The debt has been paid in full." Wow. Exact hour. One, the other. God could have had Jesus die any time of the year, but it was God's will for him to die at Passover. So we would recognize him as the Passover lamb. What a God of detail. What a God of precision. What a God of order. What a God who is faithful to his promises. Amen. The date and time had been fixed since the foundation of the world. Everything had already been planned to the last detail. Well, you know, I put so much emphasis on the feast because that's God's redemptive calendar. It's his date book, and it's all going to come to pass. You know, we recognize all this came to pass exactly on the dates, the hour, the time. How much more do you think his second coming is going to be in those final feasts of trumpets and Yom Kippur and tabernacles? I can't get away from that. Exact. Every dot was connected. Every piece of the puzzle fits precisely. Jesus, the Passover lamb that takes away the sins of the world, he shed his blood, redeems us from the enemy. And when his blood is put on the doorpost of our heart, God delivers us from our adversary. Just as he did at that first Passover, just as he did as he was nailed to the cross, his blood was shed, that we would be delivered from death and hell itself. And once we understand Passover, we understand so much more of who Jesus is. Once we understand what I just spoke of tonight, Lamb Selection Day, we understand so much more of who Jesus is, what he came to do, and what he is going to do. And as he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, into Jerusalem, a special day, I pray that even tonight we're just reminded of that. Every so often I'll just review this. I just need to go over it again myself. Oh Lord, that is so awesome. But again, this is just one small little tiny part of all that goes on in Passover. And you can't contain it in books. But the Lord is good. He is the Lamb of God. Amen? Amen. How many have heard this before? How many of you never heard about the Lamb Selection Day? Anybody hear that? Yeah, never heard of it. Amen. Amen. Good, John. Amen. It's worthy. Now, John, he gave a message on this Sunday, didn't you? Yeah. John got excited about this past week. We were talking about it, and he said, man, I got to get a hold of this, you know. So I think he left his congregation kind of wandering. They're kind of like, they'd never heard anything like that before. He's just kind of like, he couldn't get an amen or anything out of it. But we're trusting that seeds is planted, amen. Hallelujah. Well, hey, there's a great song by Twyla Paris. It's just the Lamb of God, or at least she sings it. I don't know who wrote it, but it's a great song to just end with tonight. If you join with me and...